Quincy Jones. Of the many things that he's done, that was a jazz album. Well, he's a jazz artist, I think. Quincy Jones. That was an album called Walking in Space, and that was from like 71. I was 19 years old, and I fell in love with all of the CTI. Creed Taylor had a label, CTI Records, Creed Taylor Industries, something like that. And he had all of these great jazz musicians, jazz artists, Freddie Hubbard, Stanley Turrentine, Hank Crawford. Let's see who else. Quincy Jones. And and I think he had like Hubert Laws, and he had the cat who had the quartet, Joe Farrell. And I went down and saw the CTI Summer Jazz Series along with a bunch of friends of mine in 1971 to Southgate Palace. I don't even know if that fucking place is still standing. And we got a table right up front. I've told the story a million times. George Benson, we went backstage and, you know, George Benson came out and had a drink with us. I wasn't telling you the story because of that. I was just telling you the story because of all these. Brings back a lot of memories, that album. And then I told you all about Tolly Strode. And, you know, so those are my fond memories of my post-high school years. When I got out of high school and I started to get into jazz when I was in high school, pretty good, because my father liked jazz, and my dad had a lot of jazz records. He had a lot of old school jazz. My old man had an album that was fucking incredible. It was Benny Goodman Live at Carnegie Hall. I don't know how long my old man had been carting this fucking thing around, if he'd got it from a friend. It was one of those old heavy discs. I don't know what kind of material it was. You know, big thick platters that you could smash, like in the old days. You probably saw cartoons where they break a record over a guy's head. You could literally, I don't know if you could do it over a guy's head, but you could break these things in half, as opposed to what came later, the vinyl, which is a little bit more flexible. He had this thing was a box of two discs, and it was Benny Goodman Live at Carnegie Hall, and it was a hell of a record. I listened to this thing as a kid because I heard the Gene Krupa drum solos in Sing, 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 and you could hear the crowd. You could hear a 1930s jazz crowd whistling and hooting and clapping. And then my old man turned me on to Dave Brubeck and Carmen McRae, who I love her voice. And who the hell else, man? Well, that kind of launched me off into my own world. I think my father was into Herbie Mann. Later on, Benny Goodman had a quartet. After the big band thing went south, big bands were out. They were no longer interesting. People had combos. They had quartets. Benny Goodman had the Benny Goodman Quartet, and he had Gene Krupa on drums. Benny Goodman used to say, he may not be the best drummer in the world. Who was better at that time? I don't know. He said, but he suits me perfectly. I love his playing. It's perfect for my music. Gene Krupa was very theatrical. I think that's why some people don't give him enough credit as a technician, as a drummer, because he was really theatrical, did all kinds of whack shit with his sticks. He didn't do that, didn't spin them, but he just did a lot of exaggerated movements with his arms. Teddy Wilson was the piano player. And I saw Teddy Wilson in Orlando, Florida in the 70s at the Jazz Lounge there in Lake Buena Vista. It was one of the greatest things about Orlando, living there. Orlando was boring as fuck in the 70s. I mean, Christ almighty, it was nothing going on. But gradually, things started to happen. They got the Great Southern Music Hall. I posted a video on Facebook today. It's a documentary on Jaco Pastorius, the great bass player of Weather Report, among other groups. Jaco Pastorius, by the way, played a fretless bass, no frets, so you hear that, you hear that kind of bending sound. And I saw the Weather Report in Orlando at a place called the Great Southern Music Hall in 1977. This was in downtown Orlando on Orange Blossom Trail. I don't know what that is now. It was a movie theater, and they converted it into the Great Southern Music Hall. And I think they had a number of these throughout the South. In the 70s, that was a great place to go. Great fucking bands came through there, man. I saw Sea Level, I saw a weather report there. A lot of the fusion jazz rock groups that were happening at that time. Dixie Dregs. Anybody remember that name? The Dixie Dregs? So, and then I saw, what was I telling you? Oh, then they had the Jazz Lounge at Lake Buena Vista. This was a little village. Wherever you go, whether it's a Disney, they have a shopping place. Here in L.A., here in Orange County, Disneyland has a big fucking, I don't know what they call it. What do they call that goddamn street down there off of the hotels? But it's a big Disney shopping street. It's the one here in Anaheim is huge. All kinds of stores, all kinds of bullshit. In Orlando, they had just started this. They had a Lee and Rick's Oyster Bar down there. They had a, which was the second Lee and Rick's Oyster Bar. And then they had a bunch of clothing stores and bullshit. Then they had the Jazz Lounge, which, this was nuts. This was the only jazz club in Orlando, and they had some great names that came in there. Man, I saw Kenny Burrell there. And I saw Zoot Sims there, and we saw a lot of great. I can't remember now, man. We saw a lot of really good acts there. If I could just remember, but I know we saw a lot. But anyway, because a lot of them came through there, man. I mean, you name it, you know. Well, this Jazz Lounge was like the lounge bar waiting area for a bigger restaurant that they had there. And so you had families and kids and shit. You know, in other words, you're there and you're going to sit down and, like, listen to this jazz group or this solo, whoever the fuck was there. And you're trying to get a table. There's fucking people there with their goddamn kids. They don't listen to jazz. They could give a fuck. They're just sitting there waiting with their Shirley Temple and their fucking beer waiting to get a place. So that's the one area where I don't know if they ever figured that one out. I used to say, what the hell is this? You know, I'm a jazz fan. How dare you, you know, put them out in the street somewhere, you see? But that was great. Because you always had a great, when you had the Orlando, like I said, was boring as fuck. But the Jazz Lounge solved two problems. The first problem was, if you met a you met a chick, and you wanted to take her out, it was a really, you know, it was a place to go. But secondly, it was a really cool place to go. So you take her to this jazz, she's like some, excuse me for saying, some southern girl. I mean, what the fuck does she know? You know? And you know, I met her probably through my gig, radio, you know, Radio Land or something. Maybe she was a fan. I doubt it, but you know, I was just a disc jockey in those days. But anyway, you take her down to the jazz club and suddenly, oh my God, this is weird. You know, like she's never been to this thing before. And it looks really cool, and everybody's smoking and drinking and, you know, all hip and all that shit. So, pretty much guaranteed to get laid. I'm joking, but, I mean, it worked a couple times. Anyway, so that was a great place to go. Because I'm trying to think, where the fuck did we go on dates, man? I mean, oh, Church Street, you know, when they had Church Street Station, this was, which is now a Party Central down there. I guess there's a lot of clubs there, but at the time, there's only really one, Rosie O'Grady's, which it closed in the 80s. This was a great place to go for drinks, just kind of a rowdy good time and, you know, cool entertainment. They had this Red Hot Mama come down these fucking stairs and she'd sing all that shit. And then they had a variety of watering holes, Club Escadrille on Colonial Drive. We used to go to that place. If I could remember half these joints. Where did I go with my girlfriend at the time, Mary? And Mary and I were living together. I was working at WKIS, and she was a teacher. She taught developmentally disabled kids, kids that were hearing impaired. And so we had our little, you know, we were a little couple, and that's what we did. And we, where did we go, man? I forget now, man. We would go to the beach a lot. Went to the beach a lot. Club Escadrille, because you know, her girlfriends would be there, and my buddies would be there. So we'd all kind of get together, and there we were, you know, dancing and drinking. Maybe a party now and again. I don't know. It always seemed fraught with peril, you know, because I was in the South. I wasn't home. I was in the South. And that meant they have these seedy bars down there, like the ABC Liquor Lounge. They definitely had a lot of redneck racists in there, man. I saw two black couples come through one night, and I heard a guy at the bar say, "Keep right on walking, boy." And nobody said a fucking word, including me, and these people just went right out the back door. You know, that was Orlando in the 70s, you know. And, you know, so I stopped going there after that. Actually, I went there more. I'm kidding. I'm fucking around. All right, let's take a look. Now that I'm good and bummed out thinking about that shit. You got meds yet? Okay, very good. Be-de-de-de. Burning down the house. My house. It's such a bitchin' place. Your house. Na-na-na-na. Burning down the house. I see I'm wearing a great shirt for the being on the thing, you know, just always lots of real big Madras. I inherited a mess, Trump says, defending his performance. Harvard turns down Trump's national security offer. Trump, aggrieved and sometimes gregarious, stands up for himself. Oh, would you grow the fuck up, man? Come on. Whatever, man. It's your fucking president. You got to take some fucking shots. Jesus. When governing beckons, Trump keeps campaigning. Zuckerberg promotes global community building in open letter. Samsung chief Lee arrested as South Korean corruption probe deepens. Wow. Stephen Colbert slams Trump's press conference. We elected a mess. Championship to introduce goal line technology. Vince Young headed to the Canadian Football League. Connor Arahan admits Aston Villa must work harder to improve championship form. God, nobody cares about that. An ISIS bombing at a shrine in Pakistan has killed at least 75 people. No release of Kim body without family DNA. Tillerson forced to stay at sanitarium in German village for G20. What? The fuck is this? If you see this or not. Hello. Hello. I'm Mr. Ed. A horse is so coarse, of course, it's coarse. And if you had yourself a 3-course dinner, if you had it, but Mr. Unless he's got something to say, a horse is a horse. And if you'd like to talk to a horse, of course, I am Mr. Ed. On his first trip abroad, U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson was forced to stay at a sanitarium at a German village known for its hot springs, 30 minutes from where other world leaders gathered. Diplomatic security agents mingled in the parking lot with elderly people in wheelchairs arriving for spa treatments. Tillerson, the former head of ExxonMobil, was at the sanitarium because Bond's hotels were all booked by the time he confirmed his attendance at this week's Group of 20 meeting. Counterparts, including U.K. Bot and Doot, had to make a trek out to meet him. Oh, well. You know, there's one other aspect to all of this, all of these guys that are coming into the Trump administration, and that is that there's a very pretty good likelihood that a lot of these guys will rebel. And by that I mean, because Trump's style is so unusual, that a lot of these handpicked guys that he thinks are his guys, a lot of these guys may wander off the reservation. Isn't that the saying that they use? Tony Blair calls for people to rise up against Brexit. Change their minds on Brexit. Tony Blair. I thought these motherfucking Republicans had some idea on how they're going to replace Obamacare. Oh, well, never mind. Southern California faces powerful storm. What wet weather? Was it right? It didn't rain here. Are you kidding me? They had to have a court ruling on whether doctors can discuss guns with their patients. A 2011 law that pitted medical providers against the state's powerful gun lobby. Are you ready for this shit? Are you kidding? I understand. I know what I want to do. Shit. Let me see something here, man. Okay, cool. Do. Okay, the alt-right report, we gotta remember doing that.
Well, thanks a lot, Mr. Henry, and welcome everybody to the alt-right report. I'm R.C. Collins, and this is the alt-right report.
Austin DeMarco wants to comment on Dr. Jim Sadler telling prostate exam patients, "Get your pants down, bitch." What the fuck, man? Hey there. Fuck, man.
Hey there, lonely girl.
What? Why is that fucking thing so long? God damn it. See, Saturday cinema is going to be a science fiction or horror movie. Yeah, we got to get that. Yeah, man, I got to get that shit done, man. Have we had a character come on who wants to bang Kellyanne Conway? When's the last time we had Steve Bozell on? Ah, fuck. When did we have him on last? Oh, the prostate exam. That was the fucking just the other night. Chef Carl Chedilia. What if Chef Carl?
I wouldn't mind taking a shot out.
Fucking Ted's like, oh, God. Oh, God.
You, hold on. You asked me, and it's very juvenile, Mr. Henry says, would you bang it?
I didn't say, would you bang it?
That is as juvenile as it gets.
All right, that's cool. I like that. Chef Chedilia says he'd take a shot at it. Chef Carl Chedilia. And that just, at Ted's restaurant. And Ted's restaurant will take a hit. And what's the time we got here? 5 minutes. I got me 5 minutes, man. I done got me 5 minutes. YouTube stars' anti-Semitic posts, a wake-up call for parents. Who's that? Who the fuck is that? Oh, that motherfucking PewDiePie. That, yeah, he tried to explain that shit away. Good luck, motherfucker. You know, perception's reality, man. You know, if you overstep your, if you fuck up, there isn't any amount of, and you're probably right. People probably are stupid. Whatever. Stairway to Stardom? Yeah, okay, cool. Stairway to Stardom.
My special guest, Precious Taff.
Good. Wait, man. We need somebody that sucks. She's very good.
Stay tuned, because Stairway to Stardom is next with Frank Massey.
Stardom.
On the Stairway to Stardom.
Okay, go.
I never seen you looking so lovely as you did tonight.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't laugh. So you got a great little voice there. I hope he went on to success, but we're going to use you in a comedic routine here tonight, kid. So I'm sorry. Okay, we don't need to full screen that motherfucker. Don't full screen that shit, bitch. All right. So that's that. And let's see, what are we doing? Okay. Fuck. Medjet.
Where's Medjet?
Lady in red is dancing for me. I just want you to know that I love you so. Lady in red.
All right, man. Okay, Daddy-O. I think we got this. I think I got it going on. One thing I forgot to do yesterday was. What am I playing? Here we go. All right, man. Since we're doing the Dunphys, we're doing Ted's of Beverly Hills. We got to get the goddamn Ted theme. T-H-E. Isn't that what we're doing here, man? Where's this bitch fucking... Yeah. And then... all right. Ted's of Beverly Hills. Okay, dude. I'm just trying to get my... I know we're going over the limit here, but we're good. What I do want before I die and go to heaven is the sound effect for my kitchen, restaurant kitchen.
Because I need that for Chef Kyle Cedulli. I'm sure you understand. Huh?
There it is. Then we also need...
Lady in Red...
That's a good one here. And then one more. R.C. Collins. So with all that.
Lady in red.
All right, man. Testing 1, 2. I got this thing going on. Look at the survey. What's the date today? 17th? Tomorrow's the 17th. It's the 16th. Tomorrow's the 17th.